This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise. Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Live streamer, YouTuber, and a shoutcaster. We'll have to find out what that is. She's well known for her involvement in the gaming industry, having graduated from Oxford University with a first-class degree in economics and management, and with years of experience working in the strategic management unit in Khazanah National. She combines her past experience and the passion for gaming to create a platform that provides a number of opportunities for young, aspiring gamers. So here with me today, we have CEO and co-founder of Fundevor, Michelle Tan. You've been on BFM before and now welcome back. So despite playing online games when you were little, what inspired you to invest in the gaming industry?
I wouldn't say despite playing online games when I was little. Yes, because I played online games when I was little. I've always been a gamer and it's always been something that's been dear to me. So when I had the opportunity to take it into a more business setting, it was kind of a little bit natural. And it was a step, I think, in the direction where in an industry where people are beginning to see like, oh, millennials are starting to see new career alternatives and trying new things. And for me, that was the major pull. Like, how do I get other millennials to see that, you know, your career options are not just limited to being a doctor, engineer, lawyer, which is quite common. But, you know, seeing that there's new ways for you to make your hobby into something a lot more.
Okay, so when growing up and also even now, do you see women in this field?
I think that there have been more and more women getting into the gaming industry. It's always been, as you probably know how traditional sports has been like, it's always been a little bit of a challenge for people. You know, there's always this barrier that females can't play as well as males. And that's still ongoing. There's still that stigma going on. But there's more and more females rising up to challenge this idea. And I think through what we do as well, and I hope to be one person that embodies that, you know, as one of the first few pioneers to say this is something that anybody can do.
And parents are more open nowadays?
Absolutely. Well, my own parents are a little bit like, you know what, this...
Quite radical.
Yeah. She's just like, oh, she just, you know, let her do whatever she wants because like I've reached a point where I'm like, yeah, I want to do this. But parents are a lot more accepting about, you know, alternative careers. Of course, again, you know, it's not applicable to everybody. There are still instances where people tell me that, you know, parental acceptance is the hardest thing for them at this stage. And I said, well, you know, the way to do this is to make sure that your parents' worries are assuaged, right? I mean, you have to tell them what's in it for yourself and why you can take this as something sustainable, because every parent worries about whether you're going to survive doing something different.
So economics and management for Oxford University, was that your decision or your parents' decision?
It was my decision.
Okay.
So as a kid, or rather in high school, I was in the science stream, so my teachers were really surprised, like, why I took economics, because I was on track to be a doctor, right? So, and I picked up this economics book one day, and it was from my grandfather. My grandfather read this economics book, it was dusty, it was old, and I read through it, and I thought, you know, this is actually something interesting, because economics.
No, because I don't think I would read that book.
I was bored. And to me, I thought economics is pretty much the study of how people behave and under certain circumstances. And it's about how people behave rationally.
Right.
So to me, that was very interesting. Like, so what circumstances would then make you behave not rationally?
Right. Because we're not rational beings.
Absolutely. Yeah, but economics is founded on that principle that people behave rationally. Yeah.
Which is not true. And then, you know, I remember reading economics as well. All things remaining equal.
Exactly.
And it's like, wait, it's hardly the case where all things remain equal.
Exactly. So I love challenging that and looking at
possibilities. So this is so interesting, right? And then, of course, your last role, you were assistant VP in strategic management, right, in Khazanah. The mindset, the thought process of making that switch from working there and then starting Fundevor, what was going through that head of yours?
Well, so we had a little bit of a head start, I would say. Like, so I was in this pre-accelerator, actually, for entrepreneurs that Khazanah helped start. So they were actually looking for entrepreneurs within Khazanah. to bring their ideas to life. And what happened was that I started having this one day off every week, and it was sanctioned by Kazano, so it wasn't like I was taking leave, that we could then spend on the company.
Our 20%.
Yes. Yeah. So what happened was I was spending 4 days doing my, you know, my regular strategic management stuff, and then having to swap tech, and then doing this gaming thing. So doing that while on the job soon got to a point where I was thinking, like, it's getting very hard because distractions and thinking about it. So
the job was becoming a distraction.
No, it's more like it's a complete swap, right? And I think you were alluding to that. Like, it's a completely different thing. But I started to think that, you know, maybe it's time for me to try this 100% and see where this leads. So that's why we're here.
Okay, that's why you're here right now. Okay, so this whole, in 2013, you were an official shoutcaster for the Garena League of Legends. How did this experience contribute to your career? And you got to start off with, what is a shoutcaster for the people who are not aware?
Yes.
Like me, 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, so shoutcasting is basically the analog of if you watch a football tournament and you hear the guy in the background talking about what's going on the field. So Shabby Singh comes to mind, right? And how he speaks about, and he hypes the crowd up. So take that to gaming and online gaming tournaments. When they happen, it's our role to hype the crowd up, inform them what's going on. Yes.
So that's the terminology, a shoutcaster. So, but was that your first time doing that?
It was my first time doing that. Okay. So I went through an audition with Garena, and they accepted me. I did some training, and then we did a couple of tournaments.
Okay, and you've done a few since then.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you stream exclusively on Twitch, and as of April 20 this year, you were made a Twitch partner.
Yes.
Where you hold monthly live streams on Twitch. So tell me about Twitch. What it does and all that.
So Twitch came at a time where people didn't believe that someone else would watch another person play the game but not play it themselves. So if you think about it, the idea is kind of strange. But then if you think about it in a sports context, it makes sense, right? You watch people play football,
right?
But you don't necessarily have to play football. It interests you. So Twitch grew from that concept, and now it's a massively big company that was bought over by Amazon recently. So Twitch made it accessible for everyone to start broadcasting their lives, or in another sense, broadcasting how they play the game to other people. And other people watch real time, and they are able to interact with this person. And that element of interaction is, I think, what appeals to a lot of people. People have become stars overnight just by live streaming themselves.
Right.
And you get fans, they have meetups, you know, they get autographs, merchandise, and everything else that comes with that. So Twitch has played a very important role in building the gaming ecosystem, because without that, there wouldn't be that whole avenue for people to earn money from it.
Okay, how much money can you make, and where can you make money in gaming, apart from competitions?
Right.
Yeah.
So I mentioned live streaming, Twitch. You can make money through having your viewers contribute towards your stream. So you can contribute through donations or tips. So think of an entertainer, you tips in a hat. Or you can have your viewers subscribe to you for a period of time. So you pay, I think the rate is $4.99, and you pay that monthly, and you watch their streams, you get extra perks, and so on and so forth. Of course, again, also, apart from live streaming, there's YouTube, which is a little bit more familiar, creating videos for viewers. And through that, you know, you can earn money through sponsorships. So companies wanting you to do promotional work for them, creating videos, mentioning their brand to your fans.
Right, yes. Okay. We'll talk more about this exciting world of gaming with Michelle Tan from Fundeva. Stay tuned to Her Vantage and Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise. It's Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Michelle Tan, CEO and co-founder of Fundeva. And this is a platform for the gaming industry. Now, also, when you talk about Fundeva, right, do the types of games Fundeva provide also appeal to your audience, right? And how do you go about What's the business model behind Fundever?
Right, so our role is to nurture up-and-coming YouTubers, live streamers, and esports players. And take
from
them to
across the world.
From across the world. Mm. And take them to a point where they can then monetize their passions. So when I say monetize, it means working with companies, like brands I mentioned much earlier, mm-hmm. in terms of helping them market their products or, you know, brand mentions and things like that. So we take them from, let's say, people who are a bit hesitant to start. We provide them with the resources. On the platform, it's completely free, and they can access that and figure out how to things like how to build your own unique brand. What makes you stand out as a person? How do you think about monetizing your stream or your YouTube content? How do you create engaging content that people will want to watch? Mm. And so this, plus the community we've built on Fundever, we have about 18,000 gamers registered from all over the world. I think there was 57 countries, I believe, at last count. And that enables them to grow as a person and grow their fan base. Mm. And then we partner them and we say, look, guys, you know, you want to take this seriously. We're going to help you take this seriously. We're going to pitch you to companies that might want to work with you. Mm. And from there, you know, that's where we built the brand deals for them.
Are you the only sort of platform at the moment in the world, or are they similar kind of...
So there are different kinds of platforms. Mm. There are the talent agencies. Mm. We are a little bit of that. There are the more influencer connection platforms where they connect brands with influencers. There's a little bit of similarity there too. But I think we're the first gaming platform in the world that, you know, looks at up-and-coming people. Mm. People who aren't really super famous. So not the, you know, Michael Jordans of the world.
Okay.
Right? So these are people who are really passionate, really driven. And we take them from scratch and we build them up.
Right.
See what they are.
Any names we can speak of now?
So we've worked with 9 partners. Mm-hmm. Partners are people that we sign on exclusively with. So some of them, including this guy called Spartanker. Mm. Well, he calls himself Spartanker. Spartan, right? Spartanker. And he came from Langkawi, Kedah, actually. And he came down to KL to try and make this work. So he was struggling for a while because, you know, he didn't get any money. His parents were pressuring him to go back. And he met us. Mm. And from then, he started being able to pay his bills.
Okay.
Because we recognized his potential and we helped him get in touch with a couple of brands. And he's been earning consistently.
Okay, so first of all, how young have you gotten, you know, on your, not as partners, but just how young do you see these people coming in?
Wow, we've seen people as young as 13. Mm-hmm. One of our ambassadors. So ambassadors are people that, you know, embody our values, and we appoint them and give them special perks. One of our ambassadors is 15 years old. Mm-hmm. He's from Tambunan, and it's really amazing. Like, he's really passionate about YouTube.
Okay, so these 9 partners, are they all Malaysians?
They're currently all Malaysians. We're definitely looking to expand to Southeast Asia.
Okay. Soon. And what do you look for in these partners? How do you recognize this is a partner?
Right. So on our platform, we have this system where the more learning material you go through, and this learning material is called quests. The more quests you go through, it's a very game term.
Okay.
So the more quests you go through, the more points you earn. Mm-hmm. And that to us is a demonstration of how committed you are. Because, you know, you have that drive to learn. So that point system helps us identify people who are in it not just because I want to get a quick buck, but are in it for the long haul. So that's part of how we identify potential. Of course, we look at a lot of different things.
Okay. And so what about the revenue streams for you guys? How do you guys earn money?
So when we make a brand deal with one of our gamers, we take a cut from that.
Ah, so, and then, like, who are the people that, is it the big names of all the gaming industry, the Nintendos, is that it? Or even their smaller ones, obviously?
Yeah, you're talking about the brands that might work with games. So we've had privilege to work with a great number of brands. We've worked with brands such as, you know, the usual gaming suspects. We've done Omen by HP. Mm-hmm. We've done Asus. But we've also worked with brands that are not traditionally in the native gaming space. Mm. So brands that come to mind would be brands like Hotlink, so a telco, but obviously also with a segment that wants to target youth. So that to us is where we come in, right? So gamers are youth, and more youth are becoming gamers. In fact, right. I think 99% in the future are going to be. You have kids who are playing Clash of Clans, Candy Crush on their laptops mm. or their iPads at like a very young age.
Yeah.
So to us, it's basically any brand that wants to target youth mm-hmm. that are in a digital space.
And I'm still being bejeweled.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, you are definitely a target market.
I'm still stuck there. And I'm happy to be just stuck there. So, obviously, like, in terms of feedback is essential, right, to ensure that there's a strong connection amongst your community members. How do you maintain that relationship with your community members?
Mm. So I mentioned we have ambassadors. Ambassadors are people that we select in different areas of the world. In fact, we have one from Spain. We have one from, I think, one from the States, from Vegas, in fact.
And so the gaming capital.
The other kind of gaming,
yes, right?
But we don't touch the other kind of gaming.
Okay.
These people help us be our eyes and ears on the ground. Mm. So they tell us what's going on, and, you know, they're frequently, we test things with them when we want to do new stuff. Also, my role in general is to speak to everybody, mm-hmm. so they know generally who I am through my in-game name. So not really my real name.
What's the in-game name?
My in-game name is Lilia.
Okay.
Lylia.
Okay. Yeah. Lilia, through Lilia. So even getting this up, right, was there a lot of funding that was required? Who did you work with in terms of getting funding, or is it all bootstrapped?
So not much costs involved actually when we mm-hmm. first started, because it's completely online.
Yeah.
We don't have any physical land or, you know, buildings that we needed to do. So we got together a group of small angel investors mm-hmm. at the start. So that's where we are at the moment. And we're kind of sort of bootstrapped, I guess you could say, because we didn't raise a huge amount. So we actually work from home. There's only three of us at the moment.
Are there plans to get more funding? And if you get more funding, what will you do with this additional funding?
Absolutely plans to get more funding. What we'll be doing is, of course, to scale. And I mentioned that we'll be going into Southeast Asia. That's actually our target right now.
Okay. So like a Fundever's equivalent, do you have that in ASEAN countries? Are there similar ones in other countries?
Like I mentioned, there are similar kind of talent agencies, people working with...
In your Indonesia, in your Thailand, you do have them, right?
People working with YouTubers, people working with live streamers, in a more general sense. So not just gaming, but also lifestyle, fashion, beauty, things mm-hmm. like that. Yeah.
Okay, and so I guess looking forward, 2018, what does it mean for the gaming industry? What does it mean for Fundever?
For 2018, I think we're very, very optimistic because a lot of things are happening in the space, at least in Malaysia, in fact. I mean, looking at the quality of tournaments, the amount of money people are putting in into the esports world is very encouraging to us. And I think this can only be a lot, lot better for all of us combined, because as the industry grows, Fundever grows, right? Mm. And our objective is to make sure that the industry continues to grow in that sense.
Okay, and of course the name Fundever is fun and endeavor.
Yes.
Nothing to do with funding.
Nothing to do with funding. But of course we would like funding, but that's a different story.
Thanks for taking me into your world, you know, and new terminologies I learned. I was listening to Michelle Tan, a CEO and co-founder of Fundever, on Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.